Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
And welcome to The Drift. Thank you for tuning in on this Saturday afternoon. I think this is our second or third show on Saturday. So had Joe Vollmer and Pat Tavolacci in last week filling in for me while I was away taking a few days with my parents. And had a great time. So feel a little rested up and ready to dig into much of the news this week. We've already got some callers starting to call in here. Let's just remind people what it is we do on The Drift. We kind of recap the stories of the week, especially in the political arena, and like to get opinions, yours as well as mine, out there and use a little common sense while we do so. You can email me, gary@thedailydrift.com, if you want to get some comments in, or you can call in, 734-822-1600. But this is my way of helping our community, helping our state, and helping our country, bringing these stories out to you that you may not get in the mainstream media. So let's start out real quick with I've got a good friend, George Stefuriak, calling in. George, I'm hoping I'm hitting the right line. George, good morning. How are you? Oh, it looks like I lost George. Okay. Well, Derek will get him back. George, just call back in. That's what happens when I rush, Derek. See, trying to get all these calls taken care of right off the bat. I'm losing my whole train of thought with that one. Our sponsor this half hour is The Daily Drift, and you can reach me again, gary@thedailydrift.com. And if you want to advertise on the show or on this radio station or on the website, feel free to give me a holler. You can also catch all the stories that I peruse from the internet for you at www.thedailydrift.com. And I spend a lot of time during the week going through every day getting information that it's the stories you just don't see anywhere else. And it's the stories that the mainstream media avoids. And I think there's a reason for that. I hate to be the conspiracy nut, but that's really what happens. I don't think you are getting the information that you really need. And I think we've got one of our callers back anyways. Line one. George, welcome back. How are you?
Pretty good. How about you, Gary?
Good, good. Now, you contacted me a while back, and you've got an interesting story. You're doing a fundraiser. Do you want to tell me real quick about the fundraiser and then how you got into it?
Well, I'll tell you what. I've got one of the guys that saved my life here. His name's John Springetti, and I'd like him to talk more about, the benefit game that we're doing. And let me turn it over to him, and then I can kind of tell you my story maybe after effect.
All right. Sounds good. Go ahead, John.
Gary?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. A couple of years ago, we had a game down at Kensington Valley Ice House in Brighton. And George, we play every Friday and every Monday. And George was one of the guys out of 20 guys, same 20 guys all the time. So we're on the bench. It was only the second shift. George had just scored a goal, top shelf, water bottle shot. He comes back to the bench. He's on my right. Steve Tomey, our other buddy's on my left. And George just collapses over backwards. He's laying on the bench floor. So something happened a week earlier where a guy had done something similar, gone into shock. So I took his helmet off him, and I thought he had been knocked out. But Steve told me he was on the ball enough to figure out, hey, we better take George's pulse, make sure he's still with us. And when we couldn't find it or didn't have a pulse, we went into kind of said, well, what should we do next? And so from Boy Scouts, I remembered mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, and, you hold the nose, tilt the head back. I did that. Steve Davison then jumped in there, another Steve, and he did CPR on our buddy George, who we call Sparky, by the way. So Steve Davison jumped in there and did that. Tommy Kinchkowski ran over to the sideboards and got the only fan we had in the stands to call 911. So all this was happening all at once. So we're doing CPR, and then Stephanie from the rink runs over with a defibrillator. And those things are pretty cool because she put that on George, and it said shock is needed. So they work in a way where they either are going to go on, it's black and white. And if he didn't need one, I guess it wouldn't give it to him. It says stand back. So it gave George a jolt, and he kind of made a funny noise, and his eyes started fluttering a little bit. So it was not much longer than that that the actual EMS from Livingston County arrived at the back door right next to the bench. I didn't know there was a door there. They came in with their own defibrillator, and they said, you guys stand back, and they kind of took over. And that was only about 5 minutes. All this stuff happened. So we all said a prayer for George as Ron Pastor, the goalie, took off in the ambulance down to
U of M.
Here's George, U of M Ann Arbor.
How are we doing, Gary?
You're doing good. Go ahead, George.
Okay, these guys here, the reason I brought John in, he was one of the instrumental people in saving my life. Well, a couple years passed by, and we had an idea. What if we play the Red Wing alumni in a form of a benefit game? And the reality of it set in, and before we knew it, we have a game scheduled against them. And it's coming up on March 16th at 7 p.m. at the Heartland Sports Center. It's approximately about a mile east of 23 on Heartland. On M59. And the game, the proceeds are going to go to buying defibrillators and providing CPR to people, you know, that cannot afford it, or, you know, just familiarizing people with cardiac arrest. Also on board, a friend of mine, Jeff Boyd, he's the director for EMS, and they're putting a new facility up over by the Livingston County Airport. And I'm kind of working hand-in-hand with him, asking him for advice on, you know, what we can do with the proceeds, and he's kind of helped us along with the project.
So you guys are going to buy some more defibrillators? Is that what you're thinking?
Pretty much. Like I say, when the dust kind of settles on our game, we're going to sit back and see what we took in as far as revenue, and then maybe approach Jeff, and he can help us along in that direction. I mean, no one knows more about life-saving, I say, in Livingston County, say, than Jeff Boyd.
Right. Yeah, I mean, those things are amazing. They really are. And I'm glad to see that they seem to be popping up everywhere. Just about any public arena or public place, they seem to have them, and schools seem to have them now. So
yeah.
Do you know what those cost offhand?
They're about a $1,500 bill. It's a pretty decent, sophisticated model for that kind of money. But let me share a thought with you. After I was in the hospital for about 2 weeks, and then slowly I kind of came out of, you know, the dilemma I was in, and I started doing research. And for some reason, there was a chart in one of the research articles, and it said that the people in Michigan stand a 5% chance of survival of a cardiac arrest outside of a hospital setting. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, that made me feel lucky, I can tell you that. But when I read further in the article, cities like Seattle, Washington, they had a 40% survival rate. And I'm thinking, you know, how can that be? Well, when you read further, it's that Seattle and the state of Washington mandate that employers, places of business, have AEDs on their wall or availability of, like supermarkets, et cetera, sporting places, high schools. And employers are instructed that they have to have their employees CPR certified. So that gives it the 40%.
Right. Well, that's a huge difference. So that's a great idea, George. I like that idea. I think more places should spend a little bit of money having those kind of items around, and it would probably save a whole lot of lives. Now, do you guys have a website that people can go to?
Yeah, I'm going to turn this over to John here, and he can kind of fill you in with that.
We actually have a website for the team, but it's not really for the Sparky Defibrillator Challenge, which this event is.
Right, but that's okay.
But we have an email. Could I give you that?
Absolutely.
it's because defibrillator is so long. And by the way, George's name is Sparky because he was hooked up to the defibrillator.
Right.
We got him. His new number jersey is 911.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's ready for that again?
Yeah, go ahead. Give it out.
It's sparkysdc@comcast.net.
Okay, so that's Sparky's, S-P-A-R-K-Y-S?
S, right.
DC@comcast.net.
Right.
Okay, great. All right, well, let's see if we can get some people to jump in and join you guys for this. How much are tickets?
Well, tickets for adults are $20, and for students, that's 18 and under, are $10. And then we're also taking donations, too. If you can't make the game, we'd love to have a donation for this cause.
Okay, great, great. All right, anything else you guys want to get out there and let people know? A phone number or anything else?
Phone number, we got a special bat phone for this cause, is 810-875.
Okay.
0205.
Okay, John and George, you guys, thank you so much for letting us know about this. This is a great cause. And give us the name of it one more time. It's the Sparky's...
Sparky Defibrillator Challenge.
Defibrillator Challenge. Awesome. Well, it sounds like a great event. You guys are doing that next Saturday. What's the time again?
7 o'clock next Saturday, Heartland Sports Center, Detroit Red Wing alumni versus the Ice Hogs.
Okay, that'll be a lot of fun. That'll be a lot of fun. I'll see if I can make it up next week, too, for that. So we'll stay in touch, you guys. I'll send me some information, and I'll get it on the website for you and see if we can help you out.
Okay, thank you, Gary.
You're welcome. Take care. Derek, we're going to go into a break, and when we come back, we'll get into the meat of the show. And again, we dropped a call earlier. I'm sorry. That would have been Brian. Feel free to call back in, Brian. I'm sorry we lost your call. 734-822-1600.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
You'll want to attend the 35th Annual Lenten Fish Fry at Old St. Patrick's Parish Hall, 5671 Whitmore Lake Road in Ann Arbor. It'll be from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. every Friday from February 15th through March 22nd. To learn more, visit stpatrickat2.org or call 734-662-8141. Longevity Foundation, the nation's largest lung cancer-focused organization, announces the launch of its Survivor Resource Center to fill a growing need in the lung cancer community. The Survivor Resource Center is a hub for survivors at any stage of their lung cancer journey, looking for support, information about the disease, treatment options, and other resources that can help make coping and living with lung cancer easier. To learn more, visit longevity.org. The Leslie Science and Nature Center is a nonprofit organization that provides environmental education, experiences, and events for children, families, and individuals of all ages. The Leslie Science and Nature Center is located at 1831 Traver Road in Ann Arbor. To learn more about events and classes, call 734-997-1553 or visit lesliesnc.org. Check out the wide variety of educational fun events put on by the Ann Arbor District Library for kids preschool through 12th grade. All library facilities can be reached by phone through the main switchboard at 734-327-4200, or you can visit www.aadl.org. Check it out.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM. 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Don't miss Theron's Saturday Night Rock and Rhythm Review. From the heat of Saturday night till the wee hours of the cool early morning, your fingers will be popping. It all kicks off at 4 p.m. with a special Saturday night edition of the Bone Conduction Music Show. Then from 6 to 8, it's Eddie's Caravan with Fast Eddie. At 8 o'clock, we explore America's roots with Radio John D's Greasy Skillet. Then, Johnny Danger invites you to go cruising with the best oldies from 10 to midnight. Dan Martin takes you across the pond for the best of the UK on London Calling at midnight. Followed by Del Villarreal's Rockabilly Fest, Go Cat Go from 2 to 4. Bleach down your slicks, pop your clutch, peel out, and get rubber in all four gears with Theron's Saturday Night Rockin' Rhythm Review. It all starts Saturday afternoon at 4, right here on the musical side of Wham. You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thanks for catching my drift this Saturday afternoon. Great to have you on board with us. 734-822-1600. I'd like to get your phone calls. Now, I'm going to sweeten the deal on that a little bit. We actually have some tickets that I'm going to give away today to the Home and Garden and Lifestyle Show at the Washtenaw Farm Council Grounds next weekend. That's March 15th through 17th. And that's out on Ann Arbor Saline Road. So first caller that gets in here and gives me a holler will get two tickets to the Home and Garden Show. That should be a good one. I think Joe Gannon is going to be out there next week, right, Derek? Yeah. He's going to be broadcasting live, so you can actually go out there and meet Joe in person, which would be kind of cool. And I think I will be out there at some point next weekend as well. So definitely call in 734-822-1600. First caller will get a set of tickets to that. So we had a lot of different things happening this week, and for me, there was one bright spot, because I figured when the next Senate election comes up and Carl Levin was on the line again, that it'd be a no-brainer. We have had Carl Levin since 1979, maybe? I know I've got it right here in front of me. Since 79, he's been in the Senate. So he's been here a long time. And he's always been a liberal. I'm not saying he's the worst guy in the world, but he's been very, very liberal. So I'm very glad that he's stepping down. And the creatures are coming out of the woodwork. So there was a nice article in Livingston Daily yesterday, and they talked about some of the people that have been coming out. Now, Republican-wise, you've got Candace Miller, of course, ex-Secretary of State here in Michigan, who's now a congresswoman from Harrison Township. Mike Rogers' name is being bandied about a little bit. He's out of Brighton. Dave Camp out of Midland, and Fred Upton out of St. Joseph. Now, Fred Upton isn't conservative enough for me, frankly, but, you know, he'd be certainly better than any of the Democrats we've got running. There's a Justin Amash out of Cascade Township. Other names being bandied about are Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly, Attorney General Bill Schuette. Now, I'd like to see Bill Schuette run. Wouldn't you, Derek? Bill Schuette's a good guy. I could definitely get behind him and put a little money into that pocket. I'd like to see him run. Governor Engler, I don't think so. I think Big John's done. I don't think he'd be wasting I think he'd be wasting his time if he tried it. Clark Durant, who was running against I'm drawing a complete blank. Hoekstra, our good buddy Pete Hoekstra, and lost in the primary. He's thinking of throwing his name again. West Michigan billionaire Dick DeVos, really, running for Senate. Now, the man's got deep pockets, but he just doesn't do anything for me. You know, if you can't beat Jennifer Granholm, there's something wrong there. I mean, I think he's got the Romney disease. He's wealthy. He's people are going to think he's stuck up. He's above the crowd. Unless he can get down and dirty into the streets, I just don't see Dick DeVos running it. And then, of course, the one that bothered me, I think I even did a little nasty Facebook quote on it the other day, Roger Kahn, State Senator Roger Kahn out of Saginaw. Now, that guy's a rhino, if ever there was a rhino. That's one guy that I'll pay money to see him not run. I will actively campaign against that man running. So, Roger, if you want to try it, knock yourself out. I'll make sure people down this neck of the woods don't vote for you. But on the Democratic side, of course, Gary Peters, former Congressman Gary Peters out of Bloomfield Township, he beat Joe Nolenberg the last time around for Congress, but he didn't make it through this time. Mark Schauer, former Congressman Mark Schauer, who was beat by Tim Walberg this last two times now, is also thinking of throwing in his hat in the ring, along with, go figure, Jeffrey Figer. Now, Figer, you know, I think every time Figer runs for office, he's just trying to get a little publicity for his law firm. That's the way it seems. He never seems to really take it seriously. If you're going to run, go ahead and run. Put your hat in the ring and make a go at it. Just don't try and get something out of it. Levin's brother, Sander Levin, congressman, has been mentioned in the rumor mills as well. He's 81 years old, 3 years older than Carl. No, I think we've had enough of the Levins. That would bother me. But it wouldn't surprise me to see the Democrats and the liberals in Detroit go all out for his brother and try and put him in for some longer period of time. Carl went on to say that he was not going to run after deep thought because he thought it was easier to do his job or he wanted to do his job and not campaign while doing it. Well, what have you been doing since 1979, Carl? I mean, are you telling me you've been actively campaigning and not getting the job done because you're worried about being reelected? I mean, for me, that's the one thing that's wrong with our system. You know, people talk about doing term limits. I don't really have a problem with term limits. I think you should run as much as you want. I just don't think you should run consecutively. If you run for your two or three, I think 2 years is actually a little short, but if you're running for your term of office, I think you should be dedicated to doing the job, working for the people who elected you, working for the state you represent, instead of actively campaigning, looking for dollars, because I think that's what happens. These congressmen, these senators, they get into office and they can't make a decision based on the facts. They can't make the best decision for all of us. They get locked down into special interests who will do their best to help fund an election or help them get reelected. I think that whole program just doesn't work in the long run. I think if people work hard at their job and get out, that's the way it should be done. I mean, you can run the following term, but you shouldn't be running on my dime and my time. I elected you to do a job. For a congressman or a senator, you're getting paid well over six figures. I think you should be working for me and not asking me or funding a way to get reelected again. It just doesn't make sense to me. I'd like to hear your calls, 734-822-1600. Let me know how you feel about Carl Levin. Did you think he did a good job? Do you think he did a bad job? For me, you know, he could be the nicest guy in the world, but I don't buy the fact that he did his job and did it well. In fact, I have a track. Now, I don't think Carl Levin was particularly truthful. So here's a track from an interview he did not long ago. Let's go with track one, Derek.
And by the way, one thing the Republicans are going to have to do if this is if there's going to be real significant deficit reduction is they're going to have to step up to the revenue plate. Right, and so far, Republicans have said no, just flat out no. I think it's not I don't think it's credible in terms of deficit reduction. I don't think it's fair in terms of the burden sharing. But so far, it's been a absolute no to any revenue sharing. So that's going to happen.
All right, so this was granted, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, this was last fall, but the Republicans had tax revenues on the table. They were looking to close loopholes even back last summer. So it's very difficult for Carl to be saying that the Republic, that's basically what he's doing, blaming the Republicans for this stalemate. And it's pure and utter nonsense. When Barack Obama wanted a tax revenue increase in January, he got it. The Republicans caved. They rolled over. They compromised. You can call it anything you want. They did compromise. They came to the table. They gave him over $600 billion, I think, in revenue. And yet, Obama gave nothing back. We'll continue our conversation when we get to the other side of the break. We'll see you. We'll be right back.
on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham! Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham! For the latest issues discussed by hosts Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for state and local news with Dan Martin, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business with Wham! Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. The new U.S. Defense Secretary's visit to Afghanistan marred by two separate suicide attacks, which killed nearly 20 people, many of them children, Chuck Hagel offering.
Sincere sympathy to the families.
Taliban quick to claim responsibility.
A Taliban spokesman told AFP News today, quote, "This was not a direct attack to target him," meaning Hagel, "but we want to send a message that we are always capable of hitting Kabul, even when the top U.S. defense official is there."
Fox's Molly Henneberg, the Afghan president, condemning the attackers as cowards. A Dutch airline cooking up a way to reduce polluting carbon emissions. KLM flying a Boeing jetliner from New York to Amsterdam on a fuel mix that includes leftover recycled oil from frying up Cajun food in Louisiana. The concept tested on 24 round-trip transatlantic flights every Thursday for 6 months. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Join us every Sunday morning for Wham! Weekend Worship. At 9 a.m., it's the Lutheran Hour Radio Show, followed at 9:30 by the Christian Science Sentinel program. At 10, we join Bethlehem United Church of Christ. And finally, from 11 a.m. till noon, it's the First Presbyterian Church of Ann Arbor. Every Sunday morning, Wham! Offers an opportunity for you to worship wherever you are. And please visit whamradio.com and click on any of the church programs to visit their websites and to find out more about their live services.
Experience traditional Mexican cuisine from Taqueria La Fiesta at home or at work. We offer free local deliveries within a 5-mile radius for purchases over $17 or a small $3 charge for orders under $17. This is real Mexican food for your family you'll enjoy and love.
Taqueria La Fiesta, 4060 Packard Road in Ann Arbor. Give them a call, 734-477-9240. Open Tuesday and Wednesday, 10 to 6, Thursday through Saturday, 10 to 9, Sundays, 10 to 4.
Experience traditional Mexican food and taste the difference at Taqueria La Fiesta.
Greetings, my name is Pastor Yule, host of Just Joshua. I'm delighted to announce that Just Joshua will be heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. here on Wham! Come journey with us down Freedom's Highway as we discuss today's happenings from a Black conservative Judeo-Christian perspective. Every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., come journey down Freedom's Highway on Just Joshua.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in and catching my drift this Saturday afternoon. We got our first caller in, Jimmy from Manchester, line one. Jimmy, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Good, Jimmy. What do you got to say about Mr. Carl Levin?
See you later. Enjoy retirement.
Absolutely. That was a bonus for me. I think I headlined it like that on the news. What a bonus.
Right. I can't say anything. I'm not going to say anything good nor bad. I'm glad to see him go and retire and get somebody else in there. But I think, if anything, we ought to start campaigning for Mark Schauer. He'll be easy to beat.
Right. Yeah, I was so glad to see Mark Schauer gone. He was just one of those, I think, a pathetic excuse for a congressman, if you ask me. Maybe he meant well, but obviously he's one of those people who just had no idea of what he was doing and how he was actually hurting the country. You know.
None. He has no clue. I actually worked for the woman that was running against him, Sharon Rainier. Even though I'm Republican, I did like her a lot. She was down to earth, and she just couldn't outspend him, that's all. And but this guy, he'll be easy to... I'd like to see him... see one of our people run against him. I really would.
Right, right. Well, I'd be surprised if he did. I really would. I highly doubt Mark Schar will put his hat in the ring for that because I don't think he's got the gumption to do that. But as you said, I wish he would because, you know what, I do agree with you. I think he'd be easy to beat. So there you go, Democrats, pick Schar.
Who do the Democrats have to put up there, really, though? I mean, in Michigan, I don't really see a big name. They're all old, like John Dingell, you know, Conyers, you know.
Well, they're talking Gary Peters, who did fairly well as a congressman. And, you know, somebody else put up a possible candidate was Blanchard. You know, this Jim's too old. He's not coming back. And, of course, Jeffrey Feiger. They don't have a very deep bench in the Democratic Party right now. So it's kind of hard to believe that they would be able to do that. But time will tell. You know, we'll see what kind of termites come out of the woodwork for this election. I'm glad that Carl's gone. I'm not going to say a whole lot of bad things about him other than what I already have. But I think it's good that he's gone, and I'm hoping that the Republicans have enough common sense to put somebody up who will do a good job for us. You know what I mean? I think that's important.
Mm-hmm. Yes, let's hope. You know, Gary Glenn would be a good guy.
Well, there you go. See, the Republicans have a pretty deep field. We can put a whole lot of guys up there who I think will be decent to good. So hopefully we'll get somebody who's going to be easy to win, and let's change things up a little bit. But, well, anyways, you've got the tickets to go to the Home and Garden Show, Jimmy, and I hope you enjoy it, and maybe I'll even see you out there.
Okay, you might do that. Have a good day.
All right, take care. On line two, my favorite libertarian, John Hargenrader. John, how are you this morning?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. Welcome to the afternoon show.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here. Beats getting up early in the morning on Sundays, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a great time, and I hope you're getting more callers. Well, I appreciate the libertarian introduction, but actually, in reference to the last caller about who the Democrats could put up, I was going to throw the name in of Jocelyn Benson, who I think is highly overlooked by the Republicans as a moderate in the Democratic side, and frankly, from a libertarian perspective, she's a civil rights defender. She's worked for the Southern Poverty Law Center. She's a Harvard law graduate, and she's a resident of Detroit, and her husband's in the military. So I think she's got an edge on everybody.
Right. Well, you never know. We'll see. We'll see if she puts her hat in the ring for that. It could be very interesting to see if she does. That's what I always like about you, John. When you call in, you kind of tweak my melon. You give me a different perspective on things. And you and I exchanged a lot of emails about Social Security entitlements this week over email. And you are going to have to come into a show. And maybe we'll do that next week or the week after and maybe get a little roundtable going. There's a couple other people I'd like to bring in on that. So I'm glad you called in.
Well, that would be wonderful. And I don't know if your columnist, I won't mention his name, who is probably more in-depth knowledgeable about Social Security than anybody else and writes about it every month, is able to do that. But he would be the number one candidate, I think, for a show.
I'm going to get an email off to him about that. I'm not sure if he can, because he works for Social Security, I don't know that he can actually come in and do that portion. But he probably has somebody who does. So that's why I wanted to put it off for a week or two until we can get some experts in here and bounce our ideas around with them and see what happens. So, John, I appreciate the call. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, good. Welcome to the new showtime. Hope it works out well, and I'll be ready to come in any time you need.
Awesome. Thanks, John.
Right.
Take care.
Thanks a lot, Gary. We'll see you.
Bye-bye. So the other nice thing about coming in on Saturdays, there's actually people here in the building, isn't there, Derek? So, you know, joining me in the studio right now, Brandon Drake. Drake,
hey.
Welcome.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here, and thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's nice to have some folks around in the studio. The general manager, Linda, is in and out during the day, so we get to see Linda. And of course, Derek is here with us. So,
like you said, Saturdays, it's usually humming, but Sunday morning, not so much. You
know, it's dead, and I'm half dead on Sunday morning. So it's good to have you in. So we were talking about Levin. What's your take? Glad to see him go?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think his time has passed, and hopefully we can get a conservative senator to replace him. That would be a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I think a lot of people this weekend are probably scratching their heads going, wow, who are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, who are we going to put up? Because now it's a doable election. I would have thought most of the Republican candidates we could put up would have a tough time against Carl Levin just because he's been so entrenched. You know, he's got that. Now I think it's going to be a level playing field between the Dems and the Republicans because I don't believe that Michigan is a blue state. I'd call it purple, you know, at least purple. So I think that the Republicans now have a shot, and that would be a great thing.
I absolutely agree. And if we can turn this state into more of a conservative state, and we're in that direction, but there's been a few, I think, bumps in the road along the way with Snyder and some other things.
Right, right. Well, speaking of old guys who probably need to get out of the Senate, John McCain this week, after Rand Paul did his 13-hour filibuster. Now, whether you like Rand Paul or not, the man did old school. He did a 13-hour filibuster on the floor. He got a little help from a few other senators. And even those senators got in trouble with Lindsey Graham and John McCain, who I think really are the biggest rhinos, the biggest progressive Republicans in the Senate. I'm not knocking John. He served his time in Vietnam. He was a war hero. He's done some good things. It's not everything I disagree with him on. But I think what Rand Paul did this week was put out that caution, as he said, to the country. Hey, having the ability to use drones here in mainland America, we better be careful about that. I mean, does it make sense to you to have the drones? I'm not even worried about the Hellfire missile and taking somebody out with it. I don't know that I'm comfortable having drones flying overhead.
Well, you know, drones, that's a very interesting subject because there's so many applications, and they're talking about the technology becoming cheap for the John Q. public to buy, where maybe in 5 years you could go to a hobby shop or some electronics store and buy a small drone for yourself in your neighborhood and fly it around and spy on your neighbors just for,
absolutely,
you know, something to do.
You know, when I was in the airport this last week, we walked past, I don't know, it was Brookstone maybe, one of these, and there was a guy right outside with a four-fan drone flying it in front of the store there in the airport, and I'm thinking,
wow.
Isn't he violating some rule flying this thing inside the airport? Obviously not. Or
it sounds like he would be. What if there were some explosives attached to it?
Absolutely. But, yeah, you know, cameras are so small. You can literally tie a dinky little camera to it and exactly spy on your neighbors. You know, if I'm in my backyard gardening or sitting in my hot tub, I certainly don't want my neighbors or the government or anyone else flying a little drone overhead. I think the problem is 5-10 years from now, they may be so small.
Right.
We won't even know they're there.
And I think we probably have that. We just don't know about it that much. The small ones are maybe the size of a mosquito.
Yeah.
And hopefully those things are buzzing around Iran's nuclear plants right now, so we know what's really going
on.
I know we're kind of veering off subject where you were talking originally about, you know, military applications or law enforcement applications in the United States, but we're going into privacy issues. It's such that I think that the technology, like I said, you know, like when cell phones first came out, they're very expensive and not many people had them. But now, like you're seeing them already on the street or in public, these drones. But getting back to the military or law enforcement application, you know, I'm kind of torn on that because on the one hand, I know it's a slippery slope, but on the one hand, if there's a bank robber, for example, that's all geared up with armor-piercing bullets. Like, I think it was in 95 in L.A. when they had that big shootout. These two guys were all armored up, and they had, you know, the technology bullets to just go right through the
They had the Teflon bullets.
And they stood right up there, and they decided to fight. They were going to stand and fight out of ego and pride. They didn't want to run.
Right.
And they took out a lot of police officers. So in that case, a drone might be very useful.
Right.
Or, you know, if a terrorist, you know, Islamic group is here, maybe it would be useful.
Right.
But, like, I think what's being implied is now if the government decides, well, you don't politically agree with me, I'm going to take you out with a drone.
Right. And that's you know, and this is where John McCain said, oh, that's silly stuff. And I think Mark Davis, radio host this on Friday, was saying, oh, you're being ludicrous. That's crazy. It'll never happen here.
Right.
You know what? Never say never.
Right.
You know, just because we are the United States, land of freedom and everything else, don't think that rules aren't being changed. And I want to play this track for you. Let's go with track two, Derek. This is McCain talking the next day after the filibuster, and he's kind of reading the Riot Act to Rand Paul. So let's go with this track, because there's something I want to talk about in it.
The U.S. government cannot randomly target American citizens on U.S. soil or anywhere else. I repeat that. The U.S. government cannot randomly target American citizens on U.S. soil or anywhere else. What it can do under the laws of war is target an enemy combatant anywhere at any time, including on U.S. soil. This includes a U.S. Senate citizen who is also an enemy combatant.
Okay, so I guess it comes down to the details. The devil, they say, is in the details.
It always is.
What is the enemy combatant? Now, for this Alaki guy, I guess I'm against what Rand Paul's saying here. Anwar al-Awlaki was an American citizen. The minute he waged war on American citizens, I'm going to qualify and not say the American government, American citizens, because you know what? He was talking to the Fort Hood shooter. He helped that attack happen. He was waging war on American citizens, soldiers and civilians alike. He is an enemy combatant, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He gave up his citizenship the minute
exactly.
he did that.
Exactly.
And if he was here in the United States, I would have to agree with John McCain. He is an enemy combatant. There's nothing that would make him not. And as such, your rights as a citizen are gone.
Right. If you go to Yemen, Somalia, any one of these countries, and just you happen to be an American citizen, I don't care.
Right.
You're done.
Right. I mean, you should, once you create or perform an atrocity against your fellow Americans, your citizenship is done.
Right.
Gone. I don't care if you're here, if he's in Ohio or in Yemen, kill him. I don't have a problem with that, you know.
Especially
if you can take him alive, okay. I'm not a nut job. If you can take him alive, cool. But not the risk of a soldier. I don't want to risk my soldiers to try and apprehend that guy unless he's really got critical information. Just kill him. Be done with it. I don't like having boots on the ground and endangering our guys in uniform any more than necessary.
And I think in a post 9/11 world, we have to err on the side of aggression.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd agree with that. And I kind of like the drones for overseas. Here at home, we can put an assassin anywhere, so you shouldn't need to worry about collateral damage. I highly doubt you would ever see a drone strike at a cafe.
Yeah.
Maybe out in the forest or the hills where they're trying to get to him and can't. That could possibly happen. But here, they'd just get a sniper and take him out, and that would be the end of it.
Yeah, but, so the drone subject is a very complex, interesting subject.
Right. But what McCain said there was, the United States government will not and has not targeted an American citizen. Well, all right, I'll agree with it. Al-Awlaki abdicated his citizenship by going to war against us. So I'll agree with him on that. But the National Defense Authorization Act now allows the president and the government to use the military to detain anyone that they deem to be against the country.
It's like an episode of 24.
Exactly. So we are targeting Americans. If we can now go in and pick up somebody, and it's that slippery slope. Are they waging war? Are they getting goods or guns or something against us? Maybe. But what if 10 years from now, 15 years from now, or even 4 years from now, somebody comes into office and says, I don't like Drake and Gary being on the radio talking about the government. They're an enemy of the state.
Mm-hmm. Like a Chavez type thing where he has opposition and look at all the things he did to take away the rights in Venezuela of people that disagreed with him.
We have seen how government has grown. We've seen how the power has just expanded so much in the last 4 years, let alone the last 20. Mm-hmm. What if this continues at this rate? At what point will the FCC step in and say, you know what, fairness doctrine, we're going to do this and force this station to put a liberal on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, liberals welcome to come on my show. I'll let you have
if they have the guts.
If they have the guts.
They usually don't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an open-minded guy. If you can prove to me that what I'm thinking is wrong, I'll listen. I'm a common sense man. You know, I'm a social moderate. I'm a fiscal conservative. They're welcome, your opinions. And I will always stand up for the right of someone to have an opinion, even if it's the stupidest opinion. out there. You know, you're entitled to. You're an American, babe.
Mm-hmm.
Knock yourself out. So it bothered me that John McCain would say that, because I think they've already gone that step. The NDAA already took that step and said, you know, we can hold an American indefinitely. If you can hold an American indefinitely, what's to say you didn't kill him? Oh, yeah, we still got him. He's in the back room somewhere. Can we see him? No, we're holding him indefinitely. He's already dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he makes it sound like it's some crazy thing. It's not. You already, John, you helped pass the NDAA.
And
you know what I mean?
And there's precedent with that type of thing happening all over the world, South America, Asia, everywhere except probably to a large degree here.
Right.
To this point. But like you said, the growth of government. And then you get a cult of personality type figure in there, even more so than, say, Obama down the road 10, 20 years from now. Anything's possible.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's the slippery slope. And it bothered me that McCain would go so far out of his way to make Rand Paul look like an idiot. And that's wrong. He's
right.
Not. He is honestly trying to protect us as a Constitution.
Well, you know, McCain has made a lot of questionable decisions and statements lately. Look in Libya. He was an instrumental part in basically making the United States under Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama almost being like the Air Force commanders for Al-Qaeda in Libya.
Right.
I mean, he basically said, we will use American air support technology to overthrow Gaddafi, and I'm no fan of Gaddafi, but look what's on the ground there now. They couldn't have done it without us. We are helping to construct the caliphate in Africa.
Yeah.
So with John McCain's help. And in Syria, he says, arm the opposition, just carte blanche, arm them. Look who these people are.
Yeah, you got to be careful what you wish for, because, you know, Gaddafi bowed down after we killed his nephew and whatnot and became... He gave up his weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
Yeah, he wasn't the greatest guy in the world.
By no means.
Killed all kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you have now?
Well, you know, Lyndon Johnson, I believe, once said, he may be a son of a bitch, but he's our son of a bitch.
Yeah.
You know, well, you know, I mean, I don't think I'm violating any rules on the air by saying that, in the sense that Gaddafi, he is what he is.
Right.
But like you said, he kind of bowed down, and he was against these Islamists more so than us. And he warned us. He said it over and over, and then we just took it as, that's just propaganda.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, he would not have allowed this caliphate, these Muslim extremists, to come into his country. And he would have put it – he kept it down for years until – we stepped in thinking, oh, let's help with the Arab Spring and see what happens.
Right, the Arab Spring. In the United States, it's almost like if you have an evil guy like Gaddafi, anybody fighting him in our minds to a large degree must be good. And that's not true. They're both groups are evil.
Right, right.
But the one was contained.
Yeah, one was – well, that's the perfect word, right?
And somewhat practical.
Word. Yeah, he was not out there actively fighting against us. You know, maybe – had a Barack Obama's picture on a dartboard or something, but he wasn't actively out there trying to kill Americans. He knew better. He learned his lesson and was against any sort of caliphate. Come out of sheer greed, he didn't want to share his country with any Muslim caliphate.
Right,
you know what I mean?
That's just another armed gang, a challenge to his power, and he wasn't going to put up with
it
at all.
Right, that's exactly right. So we're almost too late to take a break, aren't we, Derek? So let's just work our way through it. There was another article that I wanted to talk about today, and it was Bin Laden. His son-in-law came in, or they caught his son-in-law, and instead of putting him in Guantanamo or some other overseas...
Well, Barack Obama closed that down, like, what, 4 years ago, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. He broke that promise because he realized even he was an idiot pledging to do so.
Allegedly, yes, exactly. But why would they decide to bring... Now, is this guy a combatant or not? Again, here we go back to, it seems like they're being hypocrites. Is this guy an enemy combatant or not? He has to be as dangerous and have worked as actively against the United States as Anwar al-Awlaki. So why is he being taken to New York, being read his Miranda rights? We don't know that that's happened, but it probably has. I'm sure he's already lawyered up.
Lawyered up, and he's afforded American citizenship rights.
Yeah. How is that possible?
Wow.
How is that possible? And he's certainly not an American citizen or an alleged American citizen like Alaki. So we're, the hypocrisy just kills me here, you know. And oddly enough, McCain was on the air with Shepard Smith and said this. Let me find that track, Derek. That would be track three or four. Sorry. There we go. Derek knows better than me. I got paperwork everywhere.
Very interested in these days of sequestration, how much the security costs will be, but very importantly in the short term, if this individual got his Miranda rights, which I'm very confident that he did, because any good lawyer is going to tell his client, his or her client, to do that, then we are deprived of the ability to interrogate this person and thereby perhaps being able to prevent attacks on the United States of America. And I'm not talking about waterboarding. I'm saying there are very successful interrogation techniques where we could find out vital information. Second of all, in all due respect, this man is not a common criminal. He was a member of the Al-Qaeda hierarchy, being that close to Osama bin Laden, and he clearly, in my view, qualifies as an enemy combatant, which means he is tried by military commission.
Okay, so it's like McCain's being a complete hypocrite.
Right, where's the consistency?
Where is the common sense? Now, he hit it right off the bat, saying, hey, and we're talking about $85 billion in sequestration, this minimal little cut that we call sequestration, and yet we're going to spend millions of dollars protecting this guy, protecting the courts, protecting the juries, to give this guy some sort of a fair trial? Since when does an enemy combatant deserve a fair trial? And where's the Obama administration? Where's the common sense?
Well, you know, and Al-Qaeda and groups like it, they just love this sort of thing because they want to use our freedoms against us. And if they can get their guys in the system and tie it up and do everything like you're saying, be lawyered up, that's a great, great propaganda coup for them. They love it.
There's no business like show business. And putting this idiot on trial, you know, letting Eric Holder have his way with him in a court of law, I'd call it a court of bozos. It's not law. They're tearing the law apart by giving this idiot any rights whatsoever. He's not an American citizen. He's not American. He's actively at war against us, and yet we're going to give him a trial. It should be at Guantanamo. Put him over there. John, waterboard him. I want that man waterboarded.
Right. Let's make it happen and see what we can get out of this guy.
They've shown. Mentally, it's terrible, and it may be very suffocating to them, but it doesn't hurt them.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they do it under the proper seat. There's a defib machine right there. Should he have a heart attack, we'll take care of him. We've got the best medical facilities in Guantanamo, I'm sure. You know, we can bring him back to life as many times as we need. I'm only kidding. But, yeah, where's the common sense?
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Just crazy. All right, well, we're wrapping up another show. Drake, thanks so much for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me. One Western Michigan University grad to another. We went to, like, what, the number one or number two party school in the country at the
That's
time, right?
That's right, Lafayette Street.
Yeah,
there
you
Broncos.
Go. There
that
you
was
go.
Us. All right, until next week, stay educated. Go to the dailydrift.com and read those articles that I'm putting up there for it. Take care.